Christ is born. So what does that mean? The Savior, okay. That's it? Wow. I guess we're going to have to go back and review everything we've talked about this month.
Wait a minute.
It's coming. I knew you were going to wake up sooner or later. You should at least know four things. Hope, peace, love, and joy. Okay. All right. I was scared for a minute. Think about those things. Is life worth living without hope? No. And what do we all strive for? Peace, right? Right? I know my mom said it a million times. Just give me some peace and quiet. I knew that was supper early, but I wasn't wired that way. So, you know, we had other issues. But, you know, there's joy in there. And joy is kind of the most confusing one of the bunch because we think joy is happiness. Don't. Being happy, but how long does our happiness last? 12:05. Do you remember what we talked about last week? How many people recorded the time that they lost it last Sunday afternoon? Nobody. 12:05, she lost her love for humanity. On our way home from church. 12:05. We're driving up the road in this silver car. Just was right on our bumper. And I'm just driving along. You see that back there? Yeah. What am I going to do about it?
And then I logged the time.
And she said, 12:05. I says, can I share that? Because I'm a good husband. You know, I don't want to share any. Sir, you know, you live in my house and you're in my life, you're liable to be a sermon illustration at some point, right? 12:05. And then at 12:08 it got worse, but we're not gonna go down that road.
Well, don't spoil everything.
Yeah, okay. And as I sat at the stoplight at the intersection of 87 and 66, I noticed the lady hold up her cell phone and she's trying to take a picture. Somebody got him because I had the face card. And that's why they were so close. They wanted to see a picture of the face card. So as I pulled up to the next light, I slowed down and stopped a good distance before the light so they could pull alongside and take a picture. And my wife reluctantly smiled. But it's fleeting, isn't it? We forget real quick, don't we? Don't we? 12:05. I thought the sermon was better than that, but evidently not, right? Evidently. Hope, joy, peace, and love. That's what we receive. And I can tell you, money can't buy any of those. Money can't buy any of those. But that hasn't stopped men from pursuing them, right? How many put hope in their bank account? How'd that work for them when the stock market went, right? My buddy called me and says, you know what? I can't retire. I gotta work for 10 more years because I lost everything in my 401k. Sometimes we put our hope in our bank account. Sometimes we look for joy in things of this world, don't we? In other things that are fleeting. What does scripture say? Why do we accumulate things where rust and moss will destroy, right? We should store our treasures up in heaven. And peace goes without explanation. I don't know how much. I saw something the other day, and it made me think. Do you know peace isn't corporate? Do you know what that means? just like salvation isn't corporate, it's not for everyone, it's for individuals. I can't save anybody. They have to want to save themselves and they want to accept the gift. So it's an individual. Do you know peace is individual? You see a lot of us around here praying for peace on earth. Well, peace is on earth. Christ is born. But it's not for us as a group. It's for us as individuals. And if we get enough people at peace, what do we have? We have peaceful places, don't we? Right? And if the whole world is at peace, that means each individual is at peace. But the minute we get one bully on the playground, that peace is destructive, right? That peace is... So don't think that you want everybody else to have peace. Look, I want peace. And where did that come from? Christ. And all of that is because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Who's he saving it from? We have interactions with people of different understanding levels. And this one fella didn't ever let us pray with him because he didn't understand what it was all about. And then God, through a series of events, put us in his hotel every time we were on the road. He had to sit in the lobby and talk to us. And he figured it out and he started letting us pray with him. And I come to a racetrack one day and he comes around and he says, "You're never going to believe what happened." So what? He says, "This guy drove into the junkyard the other day in his car and he's got it plastered with Jesus Saves." So I went over and I asked him, I said, "What's he saving for?" And it blew the guy's mind. He didn't have an answer. So that's my question is, why is God saving the world? Who's he saving it from? Us. Real short answer, two letters. Because we're going to destroy it. But some of us are going to get out alive, aren't we? Because of the love of God. Because we figured it out.
your God has done. Christ is born.
What is hope? A trust, a reliance, a desire with the expectation of or belief that it will happen. That's what hope is. We put our hope in a lot of things. But most of the things that we put our hope in are false hope. How many of you have hoped something was going to happen? I mean, even as simple as hope, I got a certain thing for Christmas. I hope, right? Well, Ralphie, how many of you remember Ralphie? What did he want?
A BB gun.
A BB gun, a Red Ryder BB gun, right? With a compass in the stock, right? Right, right. And he hoped that he would get it for Christmas. Who made that hope come true? His father. Ooh. Man, is there a message in that or what? Dad's always looking out for you. You can put your hope in your father. Why? Because true hope can be found in something or someone who has the power and authority to change things. That's the only thing that you can put your hope in. Someone who has the power and authority to actually change things. Right? Where do we find true hope? True hope is found in no one else but Jesus Christ. Why is that? We go back, he has the power and authority to change things, doesn't he? You can hope all you want, but if your hope is placed in something that is powerless, how good is that hope? How many of us think we know what's going to happen this afternoon? 1205. Right? We have good intentions. We desire to do good things. We desire in our heart to please God. Right? 1205. I'll pay for it later. No worries. This is the first time I went down this road. We struggle with that, don't we? Because we can't change anything, can we? We can't control anything, do we? But Christ can, right? And what is the key to Scripture? What does Scripture tell us about praying? Whose name do we pray in? Why? Because he can do it and we can't, right? Right? So when you pray, most prayers are hopeful, right? We pray and then we hope certain things are going to happen. But we can't do anything about it, can we? But he can. So we pray in Christ's name. And we ask God to help us understand what? The way he's doing things, right? Our hope isn't in this world. Our hope isn't in our jobs. Our hope isn't in our homes. Our hope isn't in what we have or what we can do or what we contain. Because all of that is hopeless. Why? Because it will all pass away. It will all be gone someday. And the only thing we'll have left is what? Jesus. Any doubt, just you know, and any time I ask a question, okay, you can't go wrong with saying Jesus. No matter what, Jesus is the answer, okay? So just if you're not sure what to say, just say Jesus. And that'll be good. In this case, it's right on, right? Jesus is all that's left. So I want to encourage you to remember that when you start hoping for things, you have to run that through Christ. Okay? And he'll help you realize where hope truly is. It says, and I'm just going to read the broad in the middle. It says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You say so. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love. We didn't do nothing. God did. Do you notice that joy and hope are connected? We can't have joy without hope. If we live in a hopeless world, there's no joy. So that's why joy is a byproduct of hope. Joy is what we have inside us when our priorities are in line with God's direction. You get it right some days? I do. Not every day, but I do get it right some days. And there's that feeling inside that says, I got it right. I got it right. I like getting things right. Because it's just, there's nothing that can replace that satisfaction and fulfillment from getting it right. And getting it right means what? Being in God's will and being in line with God. That's what it means. That's where that joy comes from. If you don't have joy, you're putting your hope in the wrong place. Okay? If you don't have the joy, it means your priorities are not in line with God's. Joy is not happiness. It's not circumstantial. It has nothing to do with what's going on around us. How many remember these two guys that were in prison? Paul and Silas. Do you remember those guys? What happened? Oh, it was me. I got arrested. I'm stuck in here. I'm in chains. Where's God? How come God isn't here, right? That's not what they said, is it? What'd they do?
They sang.
They sang. Mm-hmm. What'd they sing? They sing to the glory of God because regardless of where they were, regardless of what they were going through, God was still God, right? And they rejoiced. See, rejoice is an interesting thing. It reminds us to go back to who we have hope in. And that's all interconnected. When we lose sight of that, we go in places that we don't need to go. What happened that night? Does anybody remember? The earth shook. All the chains fell off. The doors flew open because a couple of guys were singing, praising God. Right? And the jailer, what did he do? He was ready to kill himself. He says, oh no, they're all gone. I got to kill myself because I didn't do my job. And Paul yelled out what? No, 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 we're all here. We're all here. Nobody went anywhere. You know why they didn't go anywhere? Because if I was in prison and these two guys started singing and the earth shook and all the doors flew open and my chains fell off, I'd be scared to death. I'm not going anywhere. These two guys are connected with a power greater than me. And the jailer fell to his knees. He says, what must I do? And that night, the jailer and his whole family were saved. Right? Why? Because Paul and Silas had their priorities right. And they put their hope in who? God. And the walls came tumbling down. It doesn't matter where we are, what is going on around us or who is with us. Joy is present when we have God first in our life. When we put others above ourselves. When we humble ourselves and serve others instead of serving ourselves. That's the condition that we have to be in for joy to be present. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Amen? Can you be at peace? What do you think? You think Paul and Silas were at peace that night? I'm not that way. I'm not that good. I'm sorry. When I'm faced with challenging circumstances that are out of my control, I am not such a as prone to be at peace. There was one time I told you about the story on the road in Haiti. There's a bunch of, excuse the term, white folk in the middle of the jungle in Haiti with a broken down car. Ain't nothing we can do. There's no Napa store around the corner. There's no nothing you can do. And, you know, traffic cones in Haiti, you know what they are? Does anybody know what traffic cones in Haiti are? Branches. You go into the woods, you break some branches, you put them on the road. So when somebody comes along and sees branches on the road, they know that there's a disabled vehicle there. I learned that. So what do? We did what only thing we could do. We admired the beauty of the surroundings and we sang praise choruses. And you should have seen the Haitians on the other side of the road. There's about a half a dozen guys sitting on their little bullpens looking at us. And we're over there just singing. We're just singing. Because we knew that there wasn't anything we were going to do about it. But we were at peace. Because we knew somebody who could do something about it. And it didn't matter how long it took. And it didn't matter if we were there for the next 4 or 5 days. Because there wasn't any place we could do or go. Until God showed up and got us a brand new vehicle and packed it all on, and we went down the road. But when you have hope in God and you have your priorities right, it don't matter what's going on, you can be at peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. Peace allows us to overcome fear. Get that. Get it in there. How do we get peace? By knowing who our hope's in and having our priorities right. We can be at peace, even though we're not in a peaceful place. Even though the world around us is not at peace. We're at peace with God. Because that's what Jesus gave us. That's what he gave us. He says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share something with you. If you're going to want to be at peace with something, be at peace with God. You know why? Because he's eternal. And he has the rules. And if you want to be at peace with somebody, be at peace with the guy in charge. Right? How does it feel at work when you're not at peace with your boss? When there's a little bit of friction. When maybe, you know, there's something that needs to be done, and it may be right, and it may be true, and you've got to do it, but by doing it, you know that your boss isn't going to be real happy with you, right? Because he controls things we put our hope in, don't we? That paycheck that comes at the end of the week, and he controls things to give us joy, right? So we get all bent out of shape. I'm telling you, the only person that we need to put our peace in and our hope and joy in is God. It says, where can we find peace? Lasting peace is impossible without Christ. Man knows no peace apart from Christ. Christ came so that we might have peace. How important is peace? How long can you live with your life in turmoil? How long can you live? How good is your life if it's in constant turmoil? Consumes us, doesn't it? Eats our insides away, doesn't it? Chews up every waking moment. And then a lot of times we get more waking moments than we get rest because we're not at peace. And we maybe sleep a couple hours a night here and there. We need peace. You think God knew that? So he gives us peace if we accept it. Peace is the eternal security that comes from a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Greatest fear we have is death. And God says, I took care of that. Just be at peace. Know that I am God and I got it covered. And this is how he's got it covered. One of the most difficult things to grasp is the love that God has for us. Why is that? Why do we struggle to comprehend how much God loves us? Because we love with condition. It's very hard for us as human beings to love unconditionally. Okay? We look at how people live their lives. We look at their performance. We look at what they can possibly give me or what I can gain by having a relationship with them. We are wired and we are reinforced by society to be conditional lovers. How many lepers were healed? Oh, wait, let me put the clicker down. How many? Okay, all right. Just a little subliminal answer. How many lepers were healed? Sean? Hey, see that? How many came back to say thank you? One. Man, if you had leprosy, wouldn't you be thrilled that you were healed? Wouldn't you want to acknowledge the person that took care of that? We're not wired that way, are we? First off, we have done nothing to deserve it. That is difficult to understand because we live in a world that doesn't provide love or value to each other unless we earn it. There are some unlovable people out there, folks. What does God's word tell us to do? Ignore. Kick him to the curb, right? No, that's not what his word says, right? Those are the tough ones, aren't they? There's some lovable people out there. There's some people that are just real easy to love. But there's some folks out there that aren't real easy to love. And we got to get over this fact that whether we care about it or not, they don't have to earn it. They deserve it because they were created by God in his image and they have the intrinsic value that each one of us have before God. The same, regardless of how they live their life. We were powerless to do what God did for us. Love initiated actions by God to atone for our shortcomings through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Can you save yourself? Nope. Why is it possible for us to be saved? Because of what God did, because he loved us through Christ on the cross. I pick on Dan. Probably one of the few scriptures he knows. John 13:13. Greater love knows no one than this. He laid down his life for his friends. Right? What are we called to do? Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. There's only one thing we need to know, right? We need to know Christ. God's desire is for his creation to live with him. That is what he created us for, fellowship with him. God does not desire that we are separated from him, but he does not force us to have a relationship with him. How would that work if we were forced to have a relationship with God? Strings attached, folks. We'd be puppets. God didn't say that. God says, how many people, what's that movie with Jim Carrey? Quick, come on. Where he answers everybody's prayer with yes.
God Almighty.
God Almighty?
Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty. I knew we get anybody see that movie, Bruce Almighty? All right. I love it when he answers everybody's prayer yes, and they all win the lottery and they win $1.52 and now they're all mad. Because God gave them the power to answer their prayers. It was yes. But what did he learn in that movie? You can't make someone love you. Can't make someone love you. And that's a scriptural principle from God. I'm not going to make you love me. I'm going to offer it. It's available. It's free. You don't have to do anything to get it. You can't do anything to get it. You just have to receive it. Right? He doesn't force us. He made the sacrifice that was necessary to remove any obstacle that we put in place to separate us. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Only one thing that can separate us from God: free will. God does not desire that we are separated from him, but he does not force us to have a relationship with him. Christ made the sacrifice that was necessary to remove any obstacle that we put in place that separated us. We, however, can still choose to be estranged from God. We must receive the gift that God offers out of love for us. We must put the corrupt desires of our old self to death and live through the guidance of the love of God manifested in Jesus. Our lives become not our own, but a life lived for the benefit of others. That's what Christmas means. That's what Christmas made possible. That's where we'll find fulfillment and satisfaction in life. No other place. What shall we do? How shall we respond? You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death.